TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Don't give me that shit.
I'll fucking kill you, bitch.
Episode 331, TagCast Podcast. I am Gatchalopagoligus.
Woo! I am Terigilopagoligus. I still can't say that right. Fuck.
But damn last it. Episode, you were Gylestradamus.
Nostragylagopolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, it's hump day, and we'll get to that story in a second. I want to mention this intro music.
All right.
Intro not.
Oh, intro not.
Remember those guys?
Yeah.
They got a brand new album coming out, and this is an advanced track called Milk Leg.
Why?
Milk Leg.
Is it advanced like...
Like that? The album's not out. Yeah, it's like really... It's really technically advanced. Mm-hmm. See, that was a good twist, like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, I got this really sensitive toothpaste, and I had to console it the whole time I was brushing my teeth.
Oh!
There was a comedian the other night that was... telling tons of jokes like that.
I tried to sell a joke on Facebook last night.
For a dollar?
It was $1.50.
Did they buy it?
No, nobody bought it.
Where'd you put it up for sale?
I just put the joke on Facebook, and then I said if anybody wants to buy it. Yeah. It wasn't really that funny.
Well, I didn't get to see it, so I might want to buy it. But anyway, new Intronaut, and if anyone's not knowing who Intronaut is, check them out. They're an awesome kind of proggy, this is weird for me to say, but a post-metal band. And you're like, is metal done?
Yeah.
There's post-punk bands. There's post-doom. Yeah, and that just means that happened after the doom thing happened, but it's still happening, so...
Oh, okay, so every band that comes out now is kind of like...
Post-everything.
Post-R&B.
Yeah.
All right.
My new band's post-R&B band. It's a one-piece acoustic band that's post-R&B.
New Jack Swing. That's what I'm into. But now it's old, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's old Jack Swing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So if you're into this kind
Jack
of
Swing.
You did?
No.
Oh. Was he new or old?
He was old.
I knew this old guy. His name was Jack Swing. But yeah, Intronaut, check them out. My old band Domesticide got lucky enough to play a show with him in Eugene one time, and then I've seen him do big shows, so it was kind of like, oh, a little bit of coattail ride and claim to fame type of deal. Oh, I played with this band, and Hacksaw to the Throat, one of their final shows. They also played with us that night at the Samurai Duck. It was a great show. Yeah. And their bassist, his first name's Joe. Might be Preston? No, that's a different Joe. Anyway, he plays for another band called Mouth of the Architect, which I also saw with Mastodon. So check out Internaut. I wanted to turn you guys on to them if you haven't
heard
of them.
Metal bands are so incestual.
I know. They just fuck everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They play around with each other's genitals.
Yeah. See, my joke last night was Mark Zuckerberg came over to my house. Apparently, he's on Undercover Boss.
I wouldn't buy that for $1.50 because I don't get it. What's Undercover Boss? Is that a show?
Yeah, that's where people dress up as someone else, like they're a boss, and then they go within their organization and see what's how things are really run on the lower level.
I was going to start a new show called Undercover Cake Boss.
You should.
Just going to mix different shows, like I don't know. There's so many stupid shows, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. For another 50 cents, though, you can use the joke that you bought that joke for $1.50.
Yeah, so that's $2 right there.
For two jokes.
Yeah, not too bad. But yeah, it's all about the money with those reality TV shows, I think. And now there's a show for everything, so they're basically just paying people to live. They're just paying you to live. You just get up and then you get a couple $1,000 for the day.
But it's unfair, though, because they're paying people that I don't want to watch on TV.
I know, but some people are still watching them for some, like, millions of people are watching them, and that's why they're still on, I guess. But, like, you know,
well,
how many,
you know, but wouldn't, let's say, let's say you have, there's a family out there with 25 kids, and they're just a family on welfare, right? Rather than.
Well, what's that family with the 19 kids?
I don't know. Is that on TV?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Another. Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, I would much rather watch the events unfold of what's going on in a household of 20 kids, probably, than.
Their fucking family picture looks like a goddamn family reunion. Mm-hmm. And it's just the mom and the dad and the 19 kids. That's 20.
Well, they probably have to once a day have a family reunion just so that they can count all the kids, right? Do a head count.
How many people are in your household? 21. Are you Mexican? No, we're white.
How many rooms do you need?
You'd need a mansion.
You would.
Legally, like, in my experience of, like, adopting, we had a foster child, and you have to meet certain regulations for the state or whatever.
Housing.
You're only supposed to have two people per room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be same sex, even if they are brother and sister. Just for whatever. I guess that's probably a foster child regulation, you know, so foster brother and sister don't try to do the nasty. But I just can't believe how many people watch those shows, though. And I can't remember the number, but was it like 100? How many million people watch this? 112 million people watch the Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't even know. I imagine it's some
or was
ridiculous
it a billion?
Number. No.
I should look. No? You don't think a billion people? Because I was blown away. I looked it up the other day because we were talking about my Gyle Stradamus shit.
Yeah.
Go Raven.
You predicted the Ravens to win.
Simply for the fact that they have a cool name.
Yeah.
You
know, here's a side shoot of the Ravens. Did you know that, obviously, Baltimore, home of a... Well, I don't know if it's a home. Well, it was the home of Edgar Allan Poe.
He lived there for... I don't think he was born there, but he lived there for a long time, and he's buried there.
Yeah.
And that's why they're named the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you know that they had to shut down his house museum thing?
No.
Yeah, and the Ravens that are named after him...
Why?
Didn't even pitch in any money.
Oh, because they didn't have money? That's why they had to shut it down?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're only...
And it's like in that drug... riddled neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's all projects now, and so... But they worry now that, you know, I mean, people are going to go there, know that the... Because they're still going to do the tours, but they're going to drive by rather than go in.
Right.
And they're worried now that people are going to go there after hours, not know that the tour doesn't like to stop there. And it's a dangerous... I mean, it's... It's probably the highest crime-rated area in Washington,
D.C. And I shouldn't know this, because I'm... known for thinking sports are dumb, but the more I wrote a little blog there for that website, and so you got to do a little research so you don't sound like a total idiot. The Ravens are the 18th ranked team as far as worth. They're worth like $1.9 million or $1.09 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't
pitch. It's got to be.
Is it billion?
It's got to be.
If they're in the top 18.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I thought that the Blazers were worth like $900 million.
Yeah.
So
so billion's probably an NFL team.
The Lakers. Oh, they're worth that much more? See, that's how dumb I am about sports.
Well, I don't know. I would admit $1 million's not that much though, because the players make $1 million.
Right. Okay. 111 million people tuned in to watch. Oh shit! That was the Giants versus the Patriots. God damn it!
That's still a large number, right?
Yeah,
and one blew that one out of the water.
It should be more. You would think. No, I think it was only like 2 million more.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. 2 million.
Yeah.
Over 108, no less.
Hmm.
108 million Americans watched the Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers.
No, I know you didn't watch a bit.
I didn't. Turned it on like I was flipping through the channels, and I turned it on at the third quarter just to see because I heard about a power outage and whatnot, which if anyone hasn't read my blog and likes sports or don't like sports, go to sportsordumb.com and check it out. I didn't even realize till after I wrote it and read the other entry from whoever that other dude is, John P., I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's Jonathan Pelcher.
Oh, okay. He said it was rigged like wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even see that, and I wrote the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's predetermined. It's got to be.
And there's a big conspiracy, and I'll tell you that I'm kind of buying it.
I liked your idea of...
Because advertisers spend a lot of money.
They don't want a shitty game.
And you don't want...
A
you
blowout?
Know, if it's a blowout, the advertising at the end is going to be less. You're going to have unhappy advertisers. You're going to have unhappy fans. It's not good for the NFL. It's not good for the advertisers. It's not good for the TV. It's not good for anyone.
It's not even good for me.
And it turns out that they did have a backup generator there, and they were just about ready to switch it back on when the power came on.
Hmm.
They were getting ready to switch the generator on after a half an hour of blackout. It wasn't even a blackout.
It was a brownout, wasn't it?
You could still see shit.
So it was
a
brownout.
They had cameras on the field.
You know what? I don't know if you know this, but my buddy that played drums in Game Over, Matt Ray, him and his girlfriend worked security because they're in New Orleans. So they were at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to get some information from some people who are actually there that isn't the media that's, you know, telling us what.
Yeah, well, the media doesn't know either because the NFL's not saying what happened as far as they're just saying it was an abnormal. Yeah, it was an abnormality.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Now, here it says that during the fourth quarter of the game, 111 million were watching. So
it was an exciting game after that.
Yeah, it got kind of close, didn't it?
But
I didn't watch. I don't know.
This is the first half was a blowout, and then the second half comes, and the Ravens run the kickoff back for a touchdown. So it's like, you know, it's looking like it's going to be a blowout. Oops,
right.
Power goes out.
Oops.
Like we were going to turn the generator back on, but it came on just in time.
Yeah, so we didn't have to.
I don't know, man. And sure, it made an exciting game, and I watched the fourth quarter. I slept through the first half, and I woke up and kind of woke up, and then I went over and watched the game with the fourth quarter with Matt and Lance. And, you know, I mean, it was a good fourth quarter. It probably one of the more exciting. It always comes down to the last few plays.
Right.
You know, and that's where, you know, you're going to get the excitement. So if you would have turned it on in the last few plays, it probably would have been exciting for you. You would have went, oh, wow, you know, they could win.
Yeah, for sure.
It would have been like a 10-second, and then you would have flipped it and went, who cares?
Now, you're right. The Ravens are worth $1.5 billion,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't even kick in to save Edgar's shack.
They said the city didn't ask.
Ah.
Or I don't know if the city said they didn't ask.
So if
I think it's a lot about, you know, where the location is and the safety.
Right. So if the Ravens are owned by Stephen Biscotti and they're worth $1.5 billion, does that mean that that's his $1.5 billion? That's part of his net worth because he owns the team?
Yeah, that's his net worth, I would imagine.
So he bought them. He bought the Ravens in 2000 for a mere $600 million.
Yeah.
And he's flipped it to $1.5 billion.
But that's asset, though. It's not like...
Not cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But, I mean, you could sell it out, but, I mean, you know, you got employees and infrastructure.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff.
All that bullish.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe even the bigger storyline is that the San Francisco 49ers, who used to be 5-0 in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
have lost a Super Bowl.
Finally.
I know.
It's about time.
Yeah.
And I told you guys on Monday's episode before I really knew, but I knew because I'm fucking psychic,
mm-hmm.
that there's no way the Niners could have won because God has yeah. made his choice clear. He hates fags. I don't. I love fags.
There's that guy who said that. I don't know if we talked about that last time. There's a guy on San Francisco who said that he didn't want gays in his locker room. This is San Francisco,
that's weird.
By the way.
Yeah, that's
the
weird.
First team that like joined up with the lesbian and gay rights movement,
yeah.
or whatever officially. But he said that, and I can understand, I guess, if you're a guy and you're straight. You know, you obviously don't want a gay guy
getting like, naked in front of you.
Well, just staring at your junk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Hey.
Yeah.
Check out your stuff. Look at mine.
And then my eyes are up here, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I see that point, but at the same time, I mean, if you're in San Francisco,
yeah,
you don't say that.
No.
Even if you feel that way, you can feel that way all you want. But it shows a certain level of intelligence to say it.
That's like being in Eugene and telling someone not to smoke weed.
It is. Or don't be homeless.
Well, Portland fights for a quick second on that. But
yeah.
Speaking of Portland, this weekend I didn't get to go to see Yob. I was kind of bummed about that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you went either, did you?
No.
No, they played Catharsis in its entirety, their three-song album from 2003. It's the first time they've done that in the States in like 8 or 10 years. I was bummed to miss it, but my wife had a fucked up neck. She woke up with a river in her neck.
Mm-hmm.
It was a creek. It was just a little river. She had a creek mm-hmm. in her neck, and it just got progressively worse for like 4 or 5 days, and then it kind of plateaued out and was shitty for like 2 more days. So uh-huh. it was like 6, 7 days, and she had been wearing a neck brace and trying not to be a homebody, which she should have been doing to keep her neck better, but it's finally yeah. better. After like 8 days, it's better.
You and, guys, because were you having problems with...
Yeah, I had like a little minor surgery on my leg. I had a little cyst that they had to remove under mm-hmm. my skin, and that affects where my leg fits, and so I was on crutches for a few days yeah. myself.
It's probably uncomfortable to sit on, right?
Yeah, and she was like, well, no, it's not too bad to sit on, but just to walk on it. It was what hurts because it's right where the pressure goes each time
okay.
I take a step. And it was like a little incision. I don't think he stitched it up. I think he should have because I think that doctor's a quack, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
So we wanted to go, and then Dan is like, I don't care if my neck's hurt. It's a doom show. We won't be headbanging. And I was like, yeah, but I'm on crutches. It's supposed to be packed. There's supposed to be like 250 people there. So we just, yeah. we skipped it. And I was wondering because I had a comedy show in Portland on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of forced myself to get a leg up and kind of pain through it and just walk kind of funny. But I didn't really want to go on crutches and actually do stand up on one leg. I don't know why I didn't want to do that, but I didn't. Dana goes, you should do it. You should just hop up there.
What about the old stool?
You could use, well, they always got a stool up there, usually for mm-hmm. the comics, you know, so I could use that for a stump stool. But it'd be funny, I guess, but I'd pretty much have to go with that material.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
I would just have to come right out of the gate
like
saying
5 to 10.
So you guys are probably wondering,
yeah,
what the fuck happened to my leg? Well, check out my wife. She's in a neck brace right now. She cut off my leg, so I choked the bitch out. But that was yeah. a joke that I never used. But
well, do you ever, because I notice when you don't wear your leg, you pin up your pants.
Yeah, that's just so it doesn't drag in the...
Yeah,
in
but
the,
have you ever, like, just let it dangle so people, like, look and go, where's his foot?
Sometimes I just safety pin a shoe to the bottom of my pant leg.
Really?
To where it just hangs down, and they're like, man, you have a skinny leg. Your right leg is like really emaciated. Like I haven't been feeding it for about a month. I just been feeding the rest of my body. And Actually, my right leg is bulimic.
Well,
everything
they
I feed it throws up.
When you had your arm in a cast for a long time, doesn't
it? Oh, dude, it shrinks up totally.
Yeah.
Like my friend Bobby Jordan, valvemovements.net, check him out. He jumped off the roof when he was like, well, we encouraged him to. We boosted it was only about a 15-foot drop. We boosted him up on the roof to get the Frisbee because he was the youngest of us. And then he was like, how am I going to get down and get the ladder? And we're like, dude, it's fucking 15 feet. Just jump. So he was going to, like, just jump. Well, he caught his pant leg on the rail, not the railing, but the little, whatever, that little metal thing that is like an L-shaped thing on the side of the roof. And so it made him go head first. So he landed on both of his arms. Grass, but still, it broke both of his arms. And so he went to the doctor, got him casted up. They didn't think anything else was wrong with him. The next day after he went home, he got super sick. Goes back to the doctor. His rib had ruptured his spleen.
Oh, wow.
And then they had to have, like, nearly emergency surgery and take his spleen out. So,
oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, just from jumping off the roof. And the reason I got to that story is when he got his casts off, dude, his arms just looked like, he looked like an Ethiopian. He just looked like I was like, I could just fucking snap your arms like twigs because they're already, like, weakened because they'd been broken. But, yeah, but we trooped up there. Dana, I think she took her neck brace off while we were in the place. She wore it in the car because it's kind of bumpy and stuff. But we had a good time. Went to two new places. Well, it wasn't a new place. The second place wasn't new. I'd done music there, but first time I did comedy. But went to a place called Eastburn. Never been there. It was, oddly enough, on Eastburn side.
Yeah.
Very fitting. It's just a bar, and it was downstairs, and everyone was really noisy, and there was a big buck hunter game and some other of those roll the ball up and try to bounce it into the circles.
Skee ball.
Yeah, there was a bunch of machines, right? And everyone's talking super loud. And I'm like, how is comedy going to go in this room? They didn't have a stage. They just had a little corner with a really dim light and one microphone. And so then the girl, real nice, Katie, can't remember her last name right now because I'm retarded.
Morgan?
But she was, Katie Bryan. A lady with a man's last name. A man's first name for her last name. Anyway, so
Katie Morgan.
Morgan Bryan. Katie Bryan.
Katie Morgan, the porn chick.
I don't know who she is, but that was not the host of the show.
Oh.
Actually, she didn't host anyway. She was the booker, and she usually hosts, but she had a friend host, so she could do a little bit of a set. But so she tried to tell people nicely, okay, we're going to have a comedy show in about 5 minutes, so you guys are going to kind of quiet down and listen to these people, and we're going to be unplugging all the games. So finish your game, and we're going to unplug them, and then you can play when the comedy show's over. Some dude at the bars, that's fucking gay, dude. Which I thought was funny because Portland's pretty diverse, and there's usually a couple gay people in every room that you go in up there just because it is, you know. Like, anyway, but the comedy went good.
I don't think of gay people when someone says,
that's fucking gay, dude. I know.
Yeah,
but
it's not
some
like...
of them do. Some of the gay people, they're like, that's degrading. It's like, I didn't mean it was homosexual. I mean, it was fucking stupid. And they're like, well, why don't you say stupid? I have a bit about that. I don't do it a lot up there because sometimes gay people, when I say, that's a totally gay joke. I'm sorry for telling it. They're like, I don't mean gay like homosexual. I mean gay like retarded. And then the retarded people or people who have retarded kids get, you know, upset too. So you're upsetting homos and retards.
Yeah.
But, and that was the other weird thing is we went to the next spot, which was the Red Room, where Game Over and Drosser has played a few times. And they have an open mic there, so I went to pick up a second set because I figured driving to Portland for a 10-minute set would be more validated if I got two 10-minute sets. So.
For sure. When in Rome, right?
Exactly. And it was only about a 15-minute drive from the other place. So we went over there, and I'd never done the open mic there. So they did a little – as a black dude – that was hosting it, and this other chick who's a lesbian, so it's diverse as hell. And he's like, all right, all the comedians come outside, you know, we're going to give the rules. A lot of you have been here before, a few of you haven't. We got some new faces, but we want to lay down the ground rules. We do this every week. First rule, no racist jokes, all right? We got a diverse crowd here, and we don't want to offend anybody. And, you know, there was three or four black comedians and a black host and black people in the audience, and there's a black part town, you know? And so he's like, no racist jokes. And this white dude goes, what if I want to call myself a cracker? And he's like, it's fine if you want to be racist to yourself. He goes, because there's not a good chance that you're going to fucking beat yourself up in the parking lot later. He goes, but if you do, that's fucking funny too. He goes, so yeah, if you want to be racist to yourself, that's fine. He goes, other rule, don't don't make any jokes or talk about the shootings in Connecticut or at the Clackamas Town Center, because that's not funny. It's hacky, and it's not a joke. And there's people around here who have kids that were involved in that, and just don't go there. And so they get up there and start the show. The first thing he does, well, he's black, though, so I guess he's just being racist against himself. He's like, mm-hmm. Did you guys hear this story about these two brothers? They got busted for stealing $65,000 worth of chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan is all, that's racist. And I go, but it's racist to his own race, so that's okay.
But it's not racist to himself. It's racist to whatever the other black people there would have been offended.
They thought it was funny. You know, because he's like,
I know, but the whole warning that he lays out is so that no one may be offended.
Yeah, what if some other black dude like beat him up?
You could have been like, hey, that ain't cool, man. You're knocking on our race.
So I had to look it up because that's kind of funny. Uh-huh. So it says two Georgia men, and it doesn't say that they're black in this story. It says two Georgia men, but it does say that their names was Dwayne and Ronaldo. So that might be Ronaldo Jackson and Dwayne Patterson. You'd probably think the best. But anyway, they stole $65,000 worth of frozen chicken wings from a cold storage business where they worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking that there was a connection because when they caught the guys, they couldn't find the wings.
Yeah.
The wings are gone.
Mm-hmm. They ate them.
Fuck, you think they can eat fucking, you know how many? It was 26,000 pounds of wings. 26,000 pounds.
Well, they probably had to store them somewhere, right? It's probably in a storage unit.
They were probably
in somebody's
and
garage.
So what, this guy, he's pretty garage. Funny. He's called The Real Hijinks. I think his name is Tyrone Collins, maybe, or something like that. Uh-huh. But his comedy name is The Real Hijinks. He's a funny dude. So he's like, you know, these brothers are trying to get rid of this shit down on the streets, you know, right down in the ghetto. They're like, hey, I got some chicken wings. It was a good time. He's like, wait, man. Those hot wings. Because they're stolen. So it was funny. They did get arrested and they got fired. That says that there's a nationwide chicken shortage now.
There was.
That's driving up the price of wings. And the theft is not the only reason. And the timing of the theft sounds like a well-planned heist with the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
So
there was a shortage of wings. Now, wings are usually like $1 a pound, right? Maybe a little high because I haven't bought wings in a while.
This says right here.
But it was almost like $2.30 a pound for wings or something like that going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this says it's $12.50 for a 5-pound bag of wings.
Yeah, that's about $2.50.
But the other thing that Real Hijinks said is that's not the street value. So yeah, I had a good time up there in Portland. I saw a lot of comics that I hadn't seen before. I met a few more officially. I met Nick Gones, producer of Spicy News. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my foot in the door there, but I don't think I want to eat a habanero pepper anyway, because the more I watch those, it's like Christine Levine said it was more painful than childbirth, and she goes, I pushed 3 kids out of my vagina, and this is worse.
Yeah, but you ask her that when she's given childbirth.
Well, you ask her when she's suffering from a habanero that she just ate, and she's fucking snotting out her nose and tears running out, and she's trying to talk. Most of them get like a hiccup or two.
I got a...
What'd you do? Nothing over the weekend? Just chill?
No, I worked on some business plans.
Oh, I signed those papers, by the way.
All right.
Brought them back. Right, so the ball is rolling on the VHMF.
Shit, yeah, I got an EIN number now, too.
Sweet. All these acronyms. VHMF, EIN,
HIJK. Employer identification number.
Am I your employee?
No. I don't have employees. Oh. It's merely for bank and tax purposes.
For banking.
But in Germany, they have a famous bakery, and there's a 44-pound cookie sculpture in front of it, century old, and apparently was stolen last month, and police have now received 2 ransom notes. Both include a picture of a person dressed as Cookie Monster, putting the golden cookie in their mouth. And the most recent note was written using cutout letters. And the first letter demanded that the company delivers cookies to hospital children. And, but the most recent letter had kind of went back on it They said, because he loves the biscuit as much as I do and now always cries and misses the biscuit, which is what they call cookies
yeah.
over there. So badly, I'm giving it back to him. The owner of the bakery offered to donate 52,000 packages of cookies to various organizations once it is safely returned, but he also added that he will not be blackmailed.
Huh.
So somebody stole a statue so that the guy would donate cookies to less fortunate, or food to less fortunate people, right?
Right.
I don't know if cookies is probably the best thing to be like.
No, you could probably think of something more beneficial.
No, but for children, you know, I mean, that probably makes their day.
Yeah. But cookies, I'm a grown-up and I love cookies.
Yeah,
cookies
yeah.
make my day.
You know? So, I don't know, man. I guess it depends on how much that bakery's making, because if that's like 52,000 cookies,
yeah.
packages.
That's a lot of fucking cookies.
If it was Cake Boss, he could probably afford it. Him and his cannolis.
Yeah. Fucking Cake Boss. Undercover Cake Boss.
You ever watched Cake Boss?
I saw some clips. The ones I saw, I think my wife was probably watching it, or maybe uh-huh. I could admit that I was watching it, because that's what everybody will tell me if I try to say my wife was watching it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to deliver some extravagant cake somewhere, mm-hmm. and it breaks, or they go around a corner too fast, or they trip and break the cake, and then they've got like a certain amount of time. They got to rebuild the cake. They got to, you know.
You're probably more familiar with Paul F. Tompkins' Cake Boss, right?
I don't know that does he do.
Cake Boss? He does Cake Boss.
Oh, I think I did hear a little bit on one of his podcasts. Yes, but I didn't. I don't know the Cake Boss well enough to know how well his interpretation
is. Great.
Is it better than his Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I don't even know what Andrew Lloyd Webber sounds like.
That's
so.
Why I can't tell.
Yeah.
If it's just what the content of what he's mm-hmm. saying.
I thought that tied to some story about, what were we talking about?
We're talking about cookie ransoms.
Oh, Cake Boss.
Yeah, Cake Boss.
You heard like up locally up in Portland that baker who denied that gay couple a wedding cake,
I did
right?
hear about that. Yeah.
And that guy Duff from Ace of Cakes, that other cake show, he's going to bake them a cake.
Huh.
So
that's
like
a good way to steal.
Yeah, it's made some national news that Duff, the Ace of Cakes, and a Portland connection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, just make the fucking cake.
Do they have a show too, Ace of Cakes?
Yeah, that's on the Food
And it's
Network.
Based in Portland?
No, that was, it's like, it's back east somewhere. Mm. Philly, maybe? Somewhere around there.
Huh.
But, yeah, that one was the first one. That came out before Cake Boss. And that's just about, it's kind of a...
Did Motorhead...
More rock and roll show.
Did Motorhead do the theme song? The Ace of Cakes!
It might have. I don't know what the... I haven't watched it in a long time.
Come on.
This guy's got some funny characters, and, you know, they're always got some goofy shit going on because they're all, like, really close friends in the business or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, any show, not any show, but some of them, even as dorky or a redneck as it is, that Duck Dynasty show is fucking hilarious. Dude, I crack up at that shit, and I don't know if it's because I'm not as redneck as they are or if just some of the shit that they say.
Maybe because you are.
Maybe I'm just as redneck as them, but that's pretty funny. I've been catching up on some episodes of Ridiculousness, too, which I had failed to record for some reason and missed most of the season towards the end of 2012. That is one of the shows that I can watch on TV that will literally make me laugh out loud by myself. And my wife will come in there and say, what are you doing?
The Duck Dynasty?
No, the
Sorry.
Ridiculousness.
I don't know what that is.
It's Rob Dyrdek from Fantasy Factory.
Oh, it's an MTV show?
I think it's on MTV. It's a video clip.
I don't get that,
it's so. Basically like Tosh, but way cooler. He just shows, it's basically crash videos, kind of, you know, like people biking it on skateboards, and he has guests each week. Usually, like, they had the champion drift driver, which I didn't even know was a thing. Like, people that drift in their cars.
Yeah.
They're going 100 miles an hour, sliding sideways. They have races, I guess, drift races. But anyway, they have like, they had Wee Man and Preston on there from Jackass, mm-hmm. and they just show videos that they found from the internet where people try to do something cool or you know, they're skating and just some fucking funny shit. Yeah. I shouldn't laugh so much at other people's misfortune, but...
Well, that's what the show's for.
Oh, dude. It's hilarious.
Speaking of Durdek,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to Poverty's Poster Boy, and we were like... I asked you about the...
Shout out to Poop Popo.
I asked you about the drums, and we had talked about, like, Mike maybe doing something.
Yeah.
You, I connected them on Facebook. I don't know if they ever got together, but one of the early people I was throwing around was Dano.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean...
He could record the tracks wherever he is and send them?
Yeah, or Popo just said that, you know, he had things, and Dano travels around quite a bit, just like on one day, you know, around here. Maybe he could just pop in and do it, and... He liked the song, and he was, you know, but he didn't know if he'd have the time to do it. But when I was presenting Poverty's Poster Boy with it, I told him that this was one of my, this is probably the guy that I would think would probably be most fitting for the project.
Yeah.
That I knew. It was Dano, and so I linked him to... a video of the Atheyarchist, and then I said, also, he was on this episode, blah, 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 and I linked him to that episode, and he's like, what, dude? No, I'll take care of it, man. That's big time.
No, he's just our friend.
I know, and I was like, he's like, Bleeding Frogs? That's big time. Like,
yeah, anybody who doesn't know the Atheyarchist would think that.
Yeah, just because they've been on TV and stuff, but, right. You know, I mean.
He's just Dano.
I don't know. He loves to party.
He's a trasher.
Oh, yeah, he is.
King trash.
A rager.
That's right. All age a rager. I think they coined that term.
I think they did.
Yep.
I think they might have coined a rager.
And what is it? FSUATD. That's their catch acronym. Fuck shit up and throw down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They used to have the hoodies that said that along the bottom on the back.
I was thinking of their other one. The sheep song. Oh, don't be another part of the herd.
Yeah. So I don't know if you saw it, because I think you were in the room, but before we got recording, your TV was on and they were showing the news, and every story they told was like a story that I had planned on talking about today. It was awesome. I was like, well, I'm going to be as topical as a motherfucker. So this was based in Salem, an Oregon committee in charge of hearing complaints about personalized license plates. They issued... The state allowed goes to 11, which someone sent in. Okay, so when you hear goes to 11, what do you think? Duh.
Well, Spinal Tap.
Okay, so
and
the
I
dude
heard a little bit about the story, but
the dude's a huge
go into depth.
The dude's a huge Spinal Tap fan, mm-hmm. So he gets this plate that says goes to 11.
Now, how does it spell though?
Just G O E S T or G O E S 211.
All right,
goes to 11.
That's what I thought it would.
Yeah. Maybe they think he's thinking about Steel Reserve. No, so I go to 211. That's all I drink.
Yep.
But no, so like when someone is out and about, say, and they pull up behind a car at a stop sign and they see a license mm-hmm. plate that is offensive to them, they have a number or an email address that they can call and say, hey, this is offensive to me. And then it goes to this board. So someone saw goes to 11 and they thought that the man was referring to his penis. He shouldn't be able to drive around telling everybody that his penis is 11 inches long.
Goes to 11?
Yeah. What's this guy thinking about fucking man's penises for?
I don't even see where you would even...
I don't even know.
I could see if it said like...
Listen how high my voice got.
I know. I don't even see how you would even...
My voice went to 11.
I don't even see how you'd pull that out because it'd
how
be like...
How could you pull out 11-inch penis?
I mean,
fucking
even
Ron Jeremy's on his deathbed.
I could see if maybe the license plate was like, I'm 11-inch. Or something, you know, but that doesn't...
11-incher?
Yeah.
Or something, or...
Goes to 11.
I'm 11, I-N, or...
That explains why the news on that story that I saw earlier didn't really explain what the problem was.
Yeah,
they just said it could be misinterpreted.
Yeah, so the committee said, you're a fucking idiot. Goes to 11. Approved. He's good.
Yeah.
And because they know what Spinal Tap is. Now, on the news, they didn't mention the penis, but I read it on the internet, and this is a real news story. But they said they thought it was referring to something offensive, but they didn't allude to what the offensive thing was, because they can't say.
There's a lot of license plates like that, though.
So, you know, and then they gave it. So,
that doesn't even make any sense.
So they gave an example of one that was nixed, and it said, Juggalette. And the cop pulled her over and let's see what it says here.
Well, that's gang-related activity,
that's
right?
What the cop said. Exactly. Exactly. Gang-related. You can't do that shit. Let's see. Where did it go here? It was yanked after a complaint from a police officer. He said the plate's message was a female version of a juggalo, the name given to Insane Clown Posse, and that it is representing gang affiliation. Now, this guy, Johnny Dixon, he said about Goes to 11, I find it in poor taste that the great state of Washington would issue a plate that allows a driver to insinuate in public that his penis grows to 11 inches in length. Maybe he thought it said grows to 11.
Maybe. That must be what he thought.
Yeah. The rest of the citizens of Washington should not be subjected to this vulgarity. All right. So, what the hell? I think that's fucking funny that someone would actually say that. Goes to 11. His penis goes to 11?
Have you ever had a personalized license plate?
No, I've had friends with them.
Yeah. Ron had Slayer.
Yeah.
Which was pretty badass.
Pat had Thrash and Victims.
Nice.
Still has them on his garage wall.
I remember the Victims one, and he used to, like, what are you a victim of? Or people would ask him, right?
Domestic abuse. Sexual abuse.
That's what a domestic abuse victim would put on their license plate.
How do you... Dom ab. Dom abuse. So, yeah, you can't be a juggalo on your license plate. So I wonder what you could get away with. First, DMV would have to approve it, not knowing, and then someone would have to see it and be offended and know what it meant to say, you know, whatever, it's 420. Yeah. I don't know. They were always too expensive for me. I wanted to get T-Guile, just because I don't think anyone would have that, but it sounds a lot like Zieg Heil to me.
Yeah.
They'd probably pull me over for being a Nazi.
Are you a Bill Maher fan as a comedian?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know you're not very,
That's really what I was going to say.
Politics.
I'm not very political, but what he has to say intrigues me enough. I loved Religulous. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent movie. Loved it. Loved it.
Well.
Loved it.
Did you know, I don't want to say he talks out his ass, but he kind of does, just in the humor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that what he doesn't research or present facts, but, you know, I mean, he'll say something in humor that's just out of left field and just kind of for goofy's sake, right?
Yeah.
And you remember Donald Trump made a big deal when Obama wanted to, when he didn't release his birth certificate, and Donald Trump said, I'll donate $5 million to charity.
Right.
If you release it, right? Well, Bill Maher, being funny, on his show said that, well, no, he told Jay Leno last month on The Tonight Show he would donate $5 million to charity of Trump's choice if the business mogul provided a birth certificate showing he's not the spawn of his mother having sex with an orangutan.
Whoa.
You know what Trump did?
Brushed
he's suing for the $5 million because he showed proof that his father... is indeed...
not an orangutan.
Yeah, his father is indeed Fred Trump, not an orangutan. And he said, Maher wasn't joking. He said it with venom and, in fact, was kind of nervous when he said it.
I just had a brain... I just had a fucking great idea for a new TV show. It's called Fred Trump, Not an Orangutan. And it's all about Donald Trump's dad and how his hair is so awesome. Because you know that Donald Trump's dad has to have some awesome hair. There was a guy last night. I've told you about this guy before. It was actually Monday night, and today's Wednesday. You guys get out there and do some humping because Dustin's having an asthmatic attack. But I've told you about this guy before. His name's Andy Shands. He's from Portland. He's a comedian. He did the 30 impersonations in 90 seconds that one time I told you about. Okay, so last night he was at the open mic, and he brought in a keyboard. It was weird. I was like, what's he going to do? So he played some parody songs, which was pretty cool. He did he's a bald, shaved head guy. He's got his head shaved, and he put on this funny wig on his shaved head, and then he sang, you know that song, That's Amore?
Yeah. Not some more, right?
Like a pizza pie. Okay, pizza now. Shout out. So he changed the words to say, that's a toupee. And he had to do he did the whole song, like three verses, and it was just funny, kind of Weird Al Yankovic-y. Uh-huh. And he's like, if the thing on your head, it looks furry and dead, that's a toupee.
Nice.
And then he did the whole thing. And then he did his version of Carry On My Wayward Son, but it was all about George Bush Sr. singing to George Bush Jr.
Uh-huh. All right.
It's called Carry On My Dipshit Son. And then he started to do These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Uh-huh.
But then when he got to the part, he just did the chorus. Well, these boots are made for walking. And then he goes, that's just what I do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. He tried to do his Christopher Walken impersonation. Yeah. So that was short. But it was weird. I'd never seen Andy do any kind of musical thing. And he was very proficient on the keyboard. It was very impressive.
Now, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. I was done. He's not an orangutan. I was wondering how I got onto that, and then I looked down at my paper. I was like, oh, yeah, Trump.
He was, do you think, because we've had this discussion, I don't know about on the air, about the ease of doing musical comedy.
It's tough, I think.
Do you think it lends better to piano than guitar?
Tenacious D does awesome. Almost all guitar. Dimitri Martin does some songs, but have you ever seen that dude Bo Burnham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does mostly piano keyboards. And Zach Galifianakis.
He doesn't really sing though. He just does loungy piano underneath of his one-liners, which is I think a little bit different too.
Yeah, yeah,
but
probably still in the musical. Well, I guess it isn't in the music. That's musically accompanied.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one album by Mitch Hedberg that had the stand-up bass.
Yeah, that had the bassist in the back.
Yeah.
I think there might be a Stanhope one that has that, too. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. What were we talking about just now? I didn't want to cut off your...
Musical comedy.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of comedy and Stanhope, they released a teaser for that. Did you see that for Andy Anderson's movie?
I thought they released it.
I thought they were going to, too, but it was just a trailer.
Teaser?
Yeah, what was that?
I did not watch it.
It was a four-minute preview, actually. Mm-hmm. I guess it's going to be called Groomed. And it showed a little bit here and a little bit there. And I thought it was funny, too. They had a big show in Bisbee on the Saturday night before the Super Bowl, and they did it at the old American Legion Hall, which I guess no one had even been in there since the 50s or something, and they sold there's a leaky part in the roof that's over some seats.
Mm-hmm.
Those seats were discounted, but they still sold them.
Yeah, I saw them. Tickets were the only ones.
You get these tickets for $7, but bring an umbrella. We're not kidding.
I'm friends with Amy, who's
his girlfriend.
Doug's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, she said on her Facebook, get down here, because she had been posting about it all weekend.
Yeah.
She said, get down here, and the only seats that are left are the ones with a hole in it, so bring your umbrella. I'm serious.
Yeah. And I didn't think it rained a lot in Bisbee, but maybe it does.
It's none probably of my, not very often.
None
maybe.
Of my business. It's not none of my business. Bisbeeness. All right, before I forget, we better do this. Oh, shit. Before I forget, I already forgot. What am I doing? I almost even forgot to get this whole segment set up because, the Super Bowl kind of fucked us up for like one day, and so we're on a different alternate recording schedule this week. So
Before you hit that button, though, I just noticed, Hans, you've been answering us on Tumblr through our little ask a question or whatever.
Hans has?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get to that right after this then.
All right.
Come in.
That was delayed.
What's in Hans? Oh yeah, I forgot, dude. You sent me the other clip for the new Hans song, didn't you?
We're gonna find.
I forgot to extract it. Sorry, Hans.
What's in Hans's CD player?
And sorry for scolding you yesterday. I really do love you, man.
We're gonna find out right now.
So Hans today is being a punk rocker. Hansy is a punk rocker. Hansy is.
Wait a minute, listen to, I'm going to guess, Subhumans.
Nope, you didn't get it from the hint of the song?
No, Ramones.
Yeah, Rocket to Russia by Ramones. So, Hans is a punk.
The only Ramones I'm familiar with is that double disc, but it's probably pretty much most there. It's like 40, 50 songs or something.
Whoa.
Right? I don't know if it's a complete discography, but it's... pretty close.
Is there two volumes? Volume 1 and Volume 2?
It's just a 2-CD set.
I probably have it and I don't even know. But it's a lot of songs because they're short. A lot of the songs are short. And let's see. I haven't actually been listening to my cassette player and I haven't got my goddamn turntable fixed yet. So I guess what the last CD I listened to at home was Frank Zappa, because I've been working away at my bass lines for Pajama People. So that's in my ears. What's in Terry's ears today? What's in Gatch's drunk? Oh, wait, we've traded that in for what has Hans not heard of?
Yeah, well, I was going to answer the question.
Okay, let's do that today. Questions from Hans. Okay, for first, what's in Hans' CD player is out of the way, and then we're going to what's, or wait, what was I going to say? What's, has he got answers for questions?
Yeah, remember when I asked about,
Okay, answers from Hans.
Yeah, remember when I asked, like, have you seen E.T.?
I wonder if he, like, went on the internet and, like, researched to find our Tumblr. So he could go to it and write us a message or...
Well, he goes on the internet, right?
Yeah, he does. Well, he has to get our podcast. But he doesn't do Facebook. He might troll around on Facebook. Hans, are you a Facebook troller? One of those guys that doesn't have an account, but he just still...
Could you see people? I guess you could if it's not like friends only kind of posts, right?
Yeah, it just depends. Okay, so what do you got for answers from Hans?
I entered the wrong password.
Oh, well. Well, maybe we'll do that on the next episode. Because we only got about 5 minutes left or something, don't we?
Yeah, we got about 10.
10? Right on. Well, then let's hit some birthdays while you do that.
Yeah.
Today is hump day. I hope you guys got out there and did some humping. And today, posthumous shout out to our best reggae man in the land, Bob Marley, born on this day, 1945. So he would have been like, let's see, 67, 68.
Wow. Are you a big reggae fan?
Not a big reggae fan, but I do love Bob Marley.
Yeah?
I got that Legend CD and about three others, but the Legend CD pretty much just wraps up every fucking great song, in my opinion, by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
This guy, you know, I respect Bob Marley, but I'm...
It's just something about the feel of the music that makes me feel good, and
the reggae vibe, though, I mean, wears on me after a little bit of listening.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of music is
for sure, but just I guess more or less his message and what the songs are about, and
now,
real personal.
Who would you say these was he like instrumentally, like musical instrumentally? Talented?
I think he just played a little bit of guitar.
Uh-huh.
Not too sure. I think he was more of a singer-songwriter.
All right. And
with a big band.
Yeah, and versus Peter Tosh.
Yeah, that was one of his guitarists, and then he branched out and went solo, and he got someone else, but I don't know who it was who took Peter Tosh's place. But, you know, Bob played guitar.
Yeah, well,
mostly
rhythm.
Yeah, he might have plucked out a couple leads here and there, but more of that back-picking stuff, kind of like chink.
That's cool.
Chink. Also, birthdays today. I don't know if anybody knows, but anyone's listened to the Zappa Tagcast knows about Punky Meadows from the song Punky's Whips, the guitarist from Angel. Punky Meadows, happy birthday today. I can't believe Punky Meadows is 63. I bet he's not so cute.
Who is he?
Remember that song that we talked about on the Zappa Tagcast?
Okay, yeah,
Punky's Whips.
All right, I know it was
Meadows,
related.
Yeah, and he's a guitar player for a band called Angel, and they're real girly looking, and they're he basically looked like a hot chick, kind of like Vince Neil used to. But also, birthday today, Axl Rose.
No.
How old do you think Axl Rose is today?
Let me see. I'm gonna say he was born in 65. So I'm gonna go with something that ends with 8.
Nope, he is 51 today.
Oh, wow.
He was born in 1962.
Oh, wait.
62.
Oh, I said 65, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're like, something that ends in 8.
Yeah, because 65 to 3.
65 or...
No, wait, that would be 8, right?
25 or 6 to 4.
Yeah. Huh. I was trying to figure he would have been... Well, so he was older when... I figured he'd be 22 when Appetite came out. But he was 25?
Yeah.
He was born in 62?
Yeah, because of 87.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, we know how to do math pretty good, don't we, here at the Tagcast podcast. Now, I was looking for a little soundbite for this last celebrity birthday, but where is it? It's not... I've lost my shit.
Oh.
I know. I should have went to the bathroom for that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, you guys can Rickroll yourself because it's Rick Astley's birthday today.
Oh, nice.
How old do you think Rick Astley is? You know, I didn't know he was as young as he was when he was doing his hit song there, Never Gonna Give You Up.
What was he then about?
He looked like he was about 20, early 20s.
So that's not what he was? But in the 80s, I mean, everybody looked like they were in the early 20s, right?
Yeah. Wasn't that like 86, 87 when that song came out?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 85? He was born in 66, so he would have been 1920. So he's...
I bet you it was probably closer to 86, because that song, you figure, like, we were just talking about 87 with the Appetite.
Yeah.
So but it might have been as late as 91, because that's when, like, the Whitney Houston and all that was in Taylor Dane and Mariah Carey were all hitting the links.
They were hitting the links?
Yeah.
They're golfing or eating sausages?
They were both. They were golfing with these large sausages.
All right, so you got any answers from Hans yet?
Yeah, I asked Hans if he ever saw E.T. in the theater.
Oh, I remember that episode.
All right, yeah. So he said, "Hey, Gatch, Hans here."
Hans!
No, I did not see E.T. in the theater, and nor have I seen it in its entirety on VHS or DVD.
VHS.
I've seen bits and pieces, but it doesn't do anything for me, and E.T. was not smart. I mean, come on, he missed his ride home at the beginning of... right? What a noob. That's what Han said.
Yeah, and he just picks fucking shit up off the ground.
He does eat it! That could have been like an orangutan turd.
I thought that Hans was going to go into a Mac Chase bit. It's like, you have been listening to our podcast every day, Hans.
And then Bones Ringer, which I think is Crosby.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
He said, "You guys rock. I have gone and quit my job since you mentioned my name on episode 209. Which was a while back, and he said...
Well, I wonder if he got a job again yet.
Now to sit back and wait for my royalty checks.
Yeah.
Whoops, sorry, we've been forgetting because we just got this message.
Crosby Ringer, Crosby Ringer, Crosby Ringer, Crosby Ringer. I said it four times, dude, quit four jobs. You got to quit your next four jobs. The next four jobs you get, you got to quit them. Like they're like, "Well, we'd like to hire you, Mr. Ringer. When can you start?" Fuck you, I quit.
Yeah, that would be great. Would you put that on your resume?
I quit four jobs before I even started.
And then I remember I asked Hans, and this is pretty topical, about whether he ever watched a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say he might have when he was younger.
He said, "Yo, Gatchosaurus, Hans here." In answer to your question... The last Super Bowl I remember watching was a kid sometimes in the 70s, before I wised up and realized sports are stupid.
Yeah.
Even more stupid than Hannah Montana.
What?
Word to your mother, you lucky slug.
You lucky
slug. As it's twice that I saw you lucky slug this weekend. I saw you use it once yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah, when I saw the fact that Glenn Leonard, drummer from Pajama People, got to see Frank Zappa on the 88 tour 3 days in a row at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia and then went to Allentown like a week later and watched him in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You lucky slug. Son of a bitch. I'm going to go jam with those guys again on the 16th, I believe. I'm going to go work out some songs with the Pajama People.
This isn't going to do well on... audio, but I'm going to show you a picture of someone, and you got to tell me their name.
Okay. That's Dolores.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
But I don't know her real name.
Well, nobody knows her real name.
Wait, show me again. Mulva?
Mulva? It was what the actress that played
Gipple?
Dolores on a famous Seinfeld episode.
Resty?
Yeah.
Westy?
Yeah, her name rhymed with clitoris.
Well, he just knew that it rhymed with a part
with the body part in the
female anatomy. He called her Mulva.
Yep.
"You don't know my name, do you?" Now, this is kind of funny. So my mother-in-law was at my house today, and she asked how the comedy went, and I told her that it went good and had a good time. And she's like, and this is probably a lot of comments get this from family or friends or retarded people.
Hey, Terry, what's your funniest joke? Tell me your funniest joke. I was like, I don't know what my funniest joke is. Well, what joke do you enjoy telling the most? It's like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. And she goes, well, you have to have one that you think is your favorite. And I was like, no, I really don't. But, and I didn't even, I thought about whipping out the acidophilus joke, but I've heard that one. I don't use it much. Recently got a small surgery that we talked about earlier, and the doctor gave me some antibiotics to make sure that I didn't get any infection while I was healing up. And he also gave me a prescription for some acidophilus, which is a hippie thing. I know a lot of hippies know about it. I didn't really know what it was. The copayment was $5. I'm a starving comedian / musician. I don't have a lot of money that I don't spend on weed. So I looked it up on the internet to find out what acidophilus was, to see if I really thought I needed it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out acidophilus is formed naturally in the vagina.
Oh, wow.
And in the intestines. So I don't know how they get it out. But I figured since I didn't have the $5 for the copayment, rather than go and get the acidophilus, I could just lick my wife's pussy every 4 to 6 hours. So I was going to tell her mom that, but that's my favorite joke to tell. Mm-hmm. But my wife doesn't like it. And I actually had a fellow comedian said, you're funny, but you know what? You shouldn't really tell a lot of jokes about like having sex with your wife. And that isn't about having sex with my wife. It's about getting medicine.
Yeah.
Medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Acidophilus and your syphilitic pelopagus. So I told the snuffleupagus joke at both places, and the first place at the Eastburn, I don't know, maybe they were too young.
Yeah.
They laughed a little bit, but I actually got a call back at the Red Room when Scott Von Wald was up there. He said, just like the guy said, my snuffleupagus was fucking just, because he was telling some joke about his dick or whatever, so he referenced that. But
nice.
It was pretty funny.
That's cool.
Yep, thanks for that.
Hey, and, no problem.
You got any other jokes for $1.50? Because I got too many. I could never say I got too many jokes, but I'm getting a pretty good, too much to where I can't tell all my jokes ever, and I don't know which ones are the best. So what do I do? What do I do? That's when we just say, wrap it up.
Did you know you were talking about bodily fluids?
Yes.
And this guy, he was on the beach with his dog, and his dog was smelling on a rock, you know, because dogs are weird. And then a piece of the rock broke off, and he realized, well, maybe it's not a rock. And he picked it up, took it home, did some research, and it was ambergris.
Oh, shit, I thought you were going to say it was whale poop.
Well, no, it's whale phlegm. No, it's whale vomit.
Whale puke, yeah. It's worth like $60,000 or something.
$68,000 someone has offered to him. He hasn't sold it, I don't believe, yet. That's just, but it's used to make perfume. And, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
How many years is it like petrified, isn't it? Petrified whale vomit?
I would imagine. Well, it'll just wash up ashore, right?
I want to find a $65,000 piece of whale puke.
Did you see that video? I think I sent it to you about that whale exploding on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that fucking hilarious?
We had talked about that before when I was talking about the Reno 911 movie, and they did that on there, and you're like, that happened in Oregon, and I mentioned that to my wife after that episode. And she's like, oh, yeah, don't you remember? That was like back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't remember it, I guess. But
it was way back in the day. It was 76 or 77.
I thought it was 70.
It might have been.
Yeah, I think it was from the story that you told me.
Yeah, they packed a bunch of dynamite under one side of it, blew it up, and then most of it just stood there.
And the rest was raining down on everybody.
They thought the birds were going to be coming and clean it up, but the dynamite fucking scared them all off. There's like, you can find it on YouTube.
Just probably took some birds out with flying pieces of blubber.
Florence, Oregon. That's where Phil used to live, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Sean Leach, our friend on Facebook, lives over there.
I hear another Sean is moving.
Which one?
Sean Shock.
Oh, he's already gone. He's gone, bro. He's back to Ohio. You know what happened when he got out there?
Huh.
His city was gone.
Really? Oh, damn it.
There was no train station.
I'm not pretending either.
That's funny.
I'm totally serious. And he recently had to put his best friend down, his companion. Emma, his dog that he had for 12 years, was real sick and in a lot of pain. And so he had to put her down and then go home. So,
yeah.
Bummer.
And, you know, I mean, he's going there because it's more suiting to his current needs, right?
Yep, for sure. And, you know, he's always good to be around family. That's what his family is.
I wish Sean the best, and I'm sure I'll still be seeing his artwork.
Yeah, he's taking a little break right now as he kind of grieves for his loss, and our condolences go out to you if you're listening, Sean. And also, if anyone knows Sean and would like to contribute to the cause, they actually had to borrow $350 from an elderly friend to have the dog put down. And this lady is on a fixed income, and they need to pay her back as soon as possible. So they're trying to kind of raise funds to help pay for the bills of putting Emma to rest. So
You know why she wants the money back is because she wants to go on one of Paula Deen's cruises.
Fuck Paula Deen.
You know, her assistant.
She makes some good cakes, though.
She does a cruise with Royal Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
And she has an assistant, right? And he was on there, and he tweeted from the ship, he said that being on the cruise was like being on a floating nursing home.
Whoa.
Complaining that everyone is 80 and up. And then he also said his room is also the size of his powder room at home. Which I've never heard a guy call a powder room.
Well, maybe he.
And there are no liquor in the mini bar. And then he asked someone to come rescue him. And so then he deleted them quickly, probably realizing that it probably wasn't a good idea. A couple days later, he said having a Fabo lunch at El Cid Resort been so much fun so far.
Yeah, I've heard that doing those shows on those cruises are pretty tough. They're old people and they're...
Yeah.
But, you know...
For the majority of them... And the fucking ship's big, man. There's a lot of shit going on, right?
Fuck yeah. They're huge. I want to go on the metal ship.
Yeah.
Heavy metal cruise.
It would probably take you a day to walk across one, right?
No.
Are they that big?
No.
I've seen them in, you know, like the poker cruises. I've looked at poker cruises.
You could walk
before.
From one to the other in probably half an hour.
And you see in the poker rooms, like, really small, but you know it's probably huge because it's a poker cruise, right?
That's I guess. Just a cruise,
yeah,
poker.
There's just all sorts of...
I want to go on a poker cruise. That's a cruise full of hookers.
Yeah.
You got to pay for it, though.
Fucking Paula Deen, huh?
Yep. We bought a Paula Deen cake once from Walmart, and it was pretty good.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
I don't
For preserved fucking shit that's not fresh. But anyways, speaking of preserved and not fresh, we should probably wrap this up. We're a little over, but we don't care. We don't have limits on ourselves or you as listeners. We can go as long as we want. As a matter of fact, my good buddies that do the Big and Loud podcast, they had their first 100-minute episode. They usually don't go more than 68, 70 minutes ever, and it's usually right at 60, like Jared was on the show or something. But they had Fat Boy from Court and Fat Boy fame, which they've had an internet radio show for the last 8 years, and they're just starting a new one that quit. They used to work on KUFO. But, 100-minute episode, so I don't even think we've had one of those. Maybe 90-some. But anyway, we're going to wrap this up. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. We've realized that even our old pizza that we forget to go pick up is still just as tasty now as Pizza Now when it's new. So go to them and then go get your tractor fixed from Stan and the boys. And by the way, if you're listening to Stan, I don't need your services anymore because we sold that hunk of junk. But I might take you up on it for another vehicle. Only Stan knows what I'm talking about. Hey, if you want to know what's going on in the world of me as far as stand-up comedy and music, go to my website, terrygal.com. Also, check in with vfmf.org. We're giving away guitars and stuff to kids. Check out sickdaddy.com and flyjelly.com. Go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com. You can donate us some money if you have any. You just click on the donate button and it'll PayPal you up. You can do some shopping at Amazon for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your dog because Valentine's Day is coming up. You can click on the Amazon banner and you do some shopping, and it hooks you up with the same awesome prices, usually free shipping. And then we get a little bit of money, too.
Yeah.
So I guess that's all of my wrap-up shit. Well, besides, if you go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, you can check out all of our social media bullshit like Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. Hans goes to Tumblr. And Hans doesn't even like going on the internet, I don't think. Do you like going on the internet? Hans, write into Tumblr and tell us if you like going on the internet.
Hans, can you do some, what is it? What am I thinking of?
I don't know. That sounds like a Japanese person.
What is it called? Pen and ink?
Oh, dude. He can. Hans, don't try to say you can't fucking draw.
All right. I'm looking for some,
He does doodles. Good pencil drawing, too.
I just want some doodles.
Dude, he's got oodles of doodles.
Oodles of doodles?
He gave me a sketchbook one time, which I hope to God I gave it back to him. Because if I didn't, I don't know where it is. But it had some ideas for tattoo work and stuff when I was getting some tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Never used any yet, but it's all good stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Hans.
Yeah.
Doodle some oodles for us and just some sketches of...
Winkle.
Wretches. Winkle?
Yeah. What's that? Wind song. Sketches of Winkle.
Oh, I don't know that. All right. Thanks for listening, you guys. Get out and do some humping. Unfortunately, the guy who provided us with this lovely track has had to back out as he is starting his own business up in Salem, and his plate is too full. Floyd is canceled, so if you would like to be on the show next week, please contact us.
Yeah.
And if you don't, fuck off.
And if you want to be on the show Friday, we're also looking for a guest, but don't get a hold of us.
Yeah, because we don't want you. We just want to do it by ourselves. Happy hump day, mother effers, and we'll see you on Friday.
And the rock on.
And blues. Post-metal. Blues. What kind of music is this? This is post-doodle.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggots. How you guys doing out there? Going to give you something fun to do because you don't want to sit at home. I'm trying something a little different. A little music in the background while I tell you what to go do. Saturday, February 9th, Sick Man and Ice Nine at the Dixie Creek Saloon. That's a tribute show, a tribute to Alice in Chains and Joe Satriani. It's a free show, and it starts at 9 p.m. at the Dixie Creek Saloon. Also that night in Portland, another tribute show with Dr. Love, Unchained, and Poisonous. Tributes to Kiss, Van Halen, and Poison at the Hawthorne Theater. $12 at the door, and this thing is nearly sold out. I can't believe it, but it's a popular thing right now, so go check that out. And if you're into comedy in the Eugene area and don't want to go to those shows on the 9th of February, go to the Fat Camp Comedy Show at the Wetlands with Don Frost, Chris Castles, and Mac Chase, hosted by Drew Tiedemann from The Donkey Show. That is a free show as well. Monday, February 11th at John Henry's in Eugene, it's Nashville Pussy. You can find out about tickets online for that. Lost my bed. Friday, February 15th at Cloud and Kelly's, it's the Shingles, the Sad Clowns, Cavalcade of Sorrow, with Terry Guile, John Severs, Michael Cunningham, Mark Wierinen, and Alex Alvarez. 9:30 showtime, 21 and over. It's a sliding scale, $3 to $5, depending on what you can afford. Sunday, February 17th in Portland at the Wonder Ballroom, it's Red Fang. I'm sure there's some other bands playing too, but I don't have any information. I just love those guys, so look into that and go watch them. Tuesday, February 19th at Hawthorne Theater, it's Soulfly, Insight, Lodi Kong, and 30 Pound Test. Get tickets from Jason or Zach Rowe or Blake Hansel or that other dude that's in the band. They have tickets for you, and you can save a few dollars. So go check out 30 Pound Test with Soulfly, February 19th. The 21st, down in Medford, at Musichead, we got Wehrmacht, Raptor, Bloodlust, Witch Cult, and Roadkill Carnivore. A great hardcore lineup for Medford, Oregon. Go check that out. February 22nd at the Baghdad Theater, it's comedy night with Tristan Spillman and friends. I will be one of those friends, and we'll have some more details for the lineup and all that stuff. We'll probably start at 10 o'clock. It'll be $5, and it's 21 and over. February 23rd at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's the first VFMF benefit featuring Catechus, the Berated, and Brutos. There's going to be some giveaways and lots of cool stuff, so come out to the Dixie. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it's free. Another benefit at the Dixie, March 2nd, a benefit for Brooklyn put on by Willamette Valley Music. It's Bury the Goat, Bikini, and a bunch of other bands. I don't know who it is. It starts at 7 o'clock, though. There's going to be raffles and all kinds of prizes and stuff, and plus you're supporting a good cause. Sunday, March 3rd at John Henry's, it's Reverend Horton Heat with Guttermouth. Go online to find out about tickets for that. March 16th at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's Wicked Haven with Crimson Guardian and Bikini, 9 p.m., 21 and over. That's a free show as well. March 27th at the Cosmic Pizza, Pajama People with Ike Willis, featuring myself, setting in on a couple songs. That's on 8th in Eugene. It's probably going to be $10 or $15 because it's well worth your money. You should go. They'll also be in Portland on the 28th at Dante's if you are in that area and can't get down to Eugene to check them out. I'm excited for this next show, March 29th at the Crystal Ballroom. My buddy Dave Forsythe got us VIP passes for Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. And that's at the Crystal Ballroom. Can't wait for that. The next night, March 30th, I just feel like staying in Portland and going to the Roseland to see Clutch and Orange Goblin. Haven't seen Clutch in about 20 years, so. Anyway, that's your shows. Go do something fun. Go check something out. Don't just sit at home like a stick in the mud. Jesus. And if you do, listen to the Tagcast podcast or the Zappa Tagcast. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tagcastpodcast.com